And it feels sounds full up there, doesn't it? Sounds full, so enjoy that. So, so that you guys know, we have been going through the fruits of the Spirit that Paul wrote about in Galatians 5, and you can turn to Galatians 5 if you want to, but the scriptures will come up on the screen here in a minute. And the reason why we're doing this is because we start off the year saying that we're going to be more devoted to God in 2016. So as we progress in drawing closer and closer to the Lord, we're going to be producing these fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law." The more and more that I say these, the more and more that it's kind of cool that it says that there's no law against any of these things. Nobody ever says, don't be kind anymore to someone. No one says that. Okay, it's over. We're this whole love thing. We're through with that. We're not going to do that anymore. There's now laws against that. Nobody ever makes any, because these are all great things that we can produce. And as followers of Christ, they should grow, and they're going to grow at different levels. Like, they're not all going to grow at the same time, but we definitely want to progress in our following of Christ and our imitation with Him to be able to produce these fruits. We've already looked at love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness, and today we're going to be looking at goodness. At goodness, because I think that we have like a misunderstanding about goodness, and we're going to discuss that today so that we can understand more clearly what godly goodness looks like. Because whenever we think of goodness, we think of like doing good things, right? We're going to go mow somebody's lawn, an elderly lady that needs her lawn mowed, or we're going to do these good things that we think about. Like, it's good to take out your wife for dinner every once in a while, right? I only heard a lady say that. Guys, you're going to need to be going, definitely. We got to do that. So it's good to do the things. It's good to help our kids with our homework. We think of these good things, but what is the biblical definition of goodness? What is it that they're talking about here? And the biblical definition is the goodness in man is not mere passive quality, but is not a mere passive quality, but the deliberate preference of right to wrong, the firm and persistent resistance of all moral evil, and the choosing and following of all moral good. So knowing that, it gives a little bit of additional meaning to goodness. If having a preference to right from wrong is a definition of good, then we've got to add some responsibility to the word goodness. We have to see it in this new light. For instance, like being good to our children may include not just doing good things for our kids or doing good things. It's also the discipline aspect of it, right? It would be bad if we're not disciplining our kids. We want them to grow up and understand what is right from wrong, what's good and what's bad. And it's a good thing to do that. Discipline's never easy, but it's something that we've got to do. And it becomes a good thing to say no to things that we know are wrong. That way they learn that it's not to do that. And this can be at school, it can be at work, it can be at play, wherever. And it's not something that's always easy to do, because choosing right from wrong is something that I think we all struggle with every single day. And it's not just me, at least I hope so. But most of the time it may even appear that the right thing is going to be the most difficult, right? Are you guys with me on that? The right thing usually seems like it's going to be the most difficult to do sometimes. But many times we're actually relieved whenever we do the right thing. Have you ever like had something that is weighing on you, and you analyze it? I'm an analytical person, so with everything, my brain wants to like go out and figure out all these different scenarios. So I can be fretting over something that I know the right thing is to do it this way, but I know that there's all these crazy outcomes that can happen if I go and do the right thing. And you're like, is there any other way I could do this wrong thing? But if I do that, then I'm gonna have to back it up with this other wrong thing. And you start thinking about it, you're like, man, I've got to go and do this right. Like, I have to do the right thing. So you're convicted. You go and you do the right thing. And maybe it's something with another person or something. And then whenever it's all said and done, it's like completely different than you would have ever thought of. You're like, wow, man, I shouldn't have even fretted over that. That was really easy to take care of that. It wasn't very, very difficult at all. But other times, doing the right thing instead of the wrong thing can also cause us a lot of stress and problems in our lives. But we need to always be focused on doing the right thing. That's what he's talking about, is that goodness is always choosing right, even whenever it's difficult, even whenever it's tough. Jesus always chose the right thing, even to his death on the cross. We talked about that this morning in the Bible study. So whenever we think of goodness as choosing right from wrong, who's usually the first person teaching us right from wrong in our lives? Parents. Moms, probably specifically, right? Moms have a really, really tough job. I'm tying this sermon into Mother's Day here. So moms have a tough job. Dads do too, but the moms, they're like the ones that are there from the time that they're born, taking care of them, caring for the babies. They're usually around more than the dads are. At least that's been our case, is that I haven't been able to be a stay-at-home dad, but Amber's been there all along, and they teach us that we need to be obedient, and we can learn from that. They teach us to follow moral laws. Don't steal, don't lie, don't do these things. Our moms teach us these things, and dads sometimes have to teach those things also. But I just see Amber and our kids from the time they were little learning that. I still remember whenever Katie learned what it meant for me to say no. She wouldn't stop crawling outside of our apartment up in Dallas. And so she kept hearing no over and over and over again, and being dragged back into the house and sit down and told no again. And it's a difficult thing, but we do that. But the moms, I think, have a difficult job. They're there for comfort. They're there for love. They're there for food, for discipline, for teaching, and so many other things. And we love our moms. They show a great deal of goodness to us. My mom had three sons. Does anybody else here have three sons? You don't want the Oliver boys, believe me. So my mom had a difficult job, but she definitely loved us. She provided for us. She taught us, and she did so many good things, and she taught us a lot. Because if we don't learn all these things at an early age, then we're going to grow up and be kind of disrespectful and not a pleasant person to be around. If we grow up with no discipline, then it's going to lead into a lot of wrong things, and we won't know to choose the good over choosing the bad. And as a society today, whenever we look around, we see a lot of people, we shy away from the responsibility of actually disciplining kids. People, it's the difficult side. We don't want to tell our kids no. We don't want to discipline them. We want it to be kind of a everyone gets a trophy kind of thing. That's the world that we live in. We're all winners, but growing up, I don't see how we're all winners. There's definitely people that lose. They win also, but I've definitely had a lot of things that I have lost in life. So we don't always win. And the problem is that, you know, it's just not how real life works whenever there's no discipline or anything happening, and we need to be corrected whenever we mess up. I remember I wrote it down because I thought of it whenever I was working on this, but a few years ago, a granddad told me that he was over at his kid's house where his grandson was, and his grandson had something. I don't remember if it was a knife or a fork or what the instrument was, but I remember that the baby toddler was trying to put said thing into a electrical socket in the wall. Now, Bud learned some years ago, though he's asleep right now, so he's going to learn not to sleep. He learned not to put, what are those things called? Pipe cleaner into an electrical socket. It will burn you. So mom and dad didn't have to teach him that. The lesson was learned there, but it could have been much worse had he done that. But this little boy was trying to put something in an electrical socket, and so he went over and said no and pulled the baby away from the electrical socket and sent him down, and the parents blew up because they don't tell their child no. So I started thinking about that and following that out, right? So we're not going to tell our kids no about anything. What happens whenever they get to kindergarten and their teacher says no about something? You know, you need to sit down and play your score. I want to play. Nope, sit down and do your schoolwork. Nobody tells me no, and they just go off doing things. They're going to find themselves in a lot of trouble if they're not being disciplined by their parents and taught things like that. And then what happens if somehow they manage to make it all the way through grade school and out of high school and even out of college into the workplace, And they're not used to being told no, huh? Yeah, it's going to be really bad, right? So moms have this huge responsibility to teach us goodness, to teach us to follow the good and not follow the bad, to make the right choices instead of the wrong choices. Along with dads, along with teachers, everyone teaches us growing up to choose right instead of choosing wrong so that we don't end up in prison or or having a, people not like us or whatever because we're spoiled. Right? We following so far? So whenever I think about my mom had a whole lot of hard choices growing up with the three of us, me and Jeremy and BJ, but she showed goodness in all sorts of ways. She was always teaching us. She would teach us from the Bible. She would teach us a variety of different ways. She tried to make the right choices, but she still messed up. She still messes up today, and she I'm glad that she's not here because she'd probably disagree, but you know, we all mess up, right? I still remember my mom taught me one of my last lessons whenever I was probably about 27 years old. And all of you guys, y'all can learn from this right here, right? I was the stage manager at The Promise here in Glen Rose. And so I was my mother's boss. And she came walking up. I was busy talking to someone. And she started talking to me in the middle of my conversation. So I just simply did this. I went, bzzz, like that. I went around the rest of the night with a handprint across my face right there. My mom taught me a lesson then. And she taught me the good choice would have been to not go bzzz to my mother. And I haven't done that again since that night, no matter what she's done. So mom still continues teaching. And even now, you know, whenever I call her up and something's going on, I talk with my mom, we talk about, you know, the choices, she's pointing me towards the good choice. And we usually know what it is, but sometimes we need some encouragement to help us go that right path. And now I want to talk to about Amber, because Amber's been a great mother to our children over the last 16 years. Katie just turned 16, so Amber has been a mama for that long. She's not only raised our kids from babies through toddlerhood into the teenage years, Amber chose to homeschool our kids. So she has pretty much been there their entire lives, from their birth all the way to their current ages, and has taken great, great care of them. Now, we've been without the kids a few times, and we've been without, you know, two and one and two at home and one gone. But for the most part, Mama has been there for their entire lives, and Amber has been an awesome, awesome mother in teaching our children. She teaches them from the Bible. The Bible is one of their classes that they do at home, and my kids are so smart when it comes to what the Word says, and they know things, and they still have questions, and we talk about some of those things sometimes. Katie, whenever she tells me about some of her online friends, that's the world that we live in, her online friends that she kicks with or whatever it is, insta-kicks, these friends that she has in there, she has friends come to her with things, and Katie gives a biblical answer. She'll go back to them with the Word, and they talk about that and discuss these things, and so it's awesome as a dad and as a pastor to get to see my daughter has been poured into that way, and not the little bit that I've done, but so much by Amber. She's been pouring into them since they were little bitty babies, and to see our kids grow up that way and with the knowledge that they have and the way that they act is just an awesome thing. So Amber shows goodness to our kids over and over and over again. So she's great as a mother, as a wife, and also as a person. And she's always trying to choose right over wrong, and she succeeds a lot, and probably a lot more than what I do. So I want to thank Amber for being the mother of my children and also my wife. I love her. I love you. So what does the Bible say about goodness? The entire Bible is about God and about His story. Everything inside of this cover is about God and how we fit into this whole thing. So whenever we think of goodness, of love, of patience, God embodies every one of these so much, and we are just trying to mimic or imitate Him in all these things. So the thought of God as good and the prominence given to good and goodness are distinctive features of the Bible. When we look at Galatians 5, we see that goodness is one of the fruits of the indwelling of the Spirit of God. We also see in Ephesians 5:9 that I didn't put into there that it's described as being along with righteousness and truth, the fruit of light, which Christians had been made in Christ. Here and elsewhere, we're reminded that the Christian life is truth, and its truth is likeness to God, the source of perfection in all things good. In 2 Thessalonians 1:11, regards God Himself as expressing His goodness in and through us, so people can see God's goodness in us, just like we talked about with patience and all the other. God uses us to show these fruits of the Spirit to the world as we're walking along living our lives. So we learn from God's word that none of us possess good from within ourselves. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Roman church in chapter 3 that all have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So every single one of us has a hard time choosing right from wrong, right? And it's been proven time and time again, and even from up here, what we learned from Ray Comfort. The three questions that he asks whenever he goes out into the streets and evangelizes to people. Have you ever told a lie? Yes. Have you ever committed adultery? And bear in mind that that is even adulterous acts in your mind. Jesus takes it as far as a heart condition. Yes. Have you ever stolen anything? Yes. So we can see that every one of us have probably committed at least one of those things, and we had a hard time choosing the right thing over the good thing. But we learn that God is good. That we learn from Jesus and Jesus' words in Mark 10. And he was setting out on his journey. Let me set this up a little bit from Mark chapter 10. There was a rich dude who was trying to figure out what it is that he had to do to inherit eternal life. So he comes running up to Jesus and he asked this question. And then this is Jesus' response. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." And of course, Jesus was God and he was good, but this man, he didn't know that. He thought he was just talking to this eloquent teacher, and that prompts the question, "How can you call me good? No one is good but God." Because God never chooses wrong. He's always right. He's just. He's pure. He's righteous. But us, we choose to do wrong a lot of the time instead of good. And the closer that we're going to draw to Him, the more easy that it's going to be able to do the right thing. So we've been learning that in Jesus, if we've trusted Him with our eternity and He's our Lord and Savior and His Spirit is indwelling in us, that we can grow these different fruits that Paul talks about here, and our choices become more and more clear, and we choose good over bad. We're going to end up in situations where we're going to start to feel like there's not really even a choice except for the good one. Like, we're going to see that more clearly than anything else. We're going to know what's good and know that's the path that we should take, and it becomes easier and easier to do that, to do what's good and what's right and what's pleasing to God. I think it'd be kind of nice, though, to face temptations and know what the right choice is and it be that easy, right, to just go that path. And whenever I was thinking about that and trying to think of a way that I could make it make sense in my mind and hopefully in other people's mind, it's almost like going through life colorblind, right? And we know that the blue door is the door that we should always go through. And there may be other doors. We know that there's all these other wrong doors, but we know that the blue one is the one that we should go through, and that's the right choice every single time. But being colorblind, we kind of know that that's the right one. We know that it's good, but then there's these other doors, and where do they really go, and those sorts of things. But we know we should do that blue. And then one day, like accepting Christ into our life, one day we begin to see that blue door, and we know that that's the right choice. And we see these other choices, but we see that blue one that's always there and the one that we should always be headed towards. And so there's choices, but we're focused on doing that good, on doing what's right, and not all the other choices that are wrong. I think that's a pretty cool way to look at that. And the more that we grow in Jesus, I think the more that it becomes clear exactly which choice we should make. We see all these things in front of us, but that one is the one that we know to be good. That one's the one that we should be doing. and we're going to get to that point. And I think that's what we're growing toward whenever we invite Jesus into our life. We start to recognize that. But sometimes we still, you know, I know that's the right way, but man, this other way seems like it would be so much cooler, and then it turns out that that was a big mistake. Am I the only one that's been there? So, we can rely on all these people, on me, or on friends, family, other pastors to tell us what's right and what's wrong, and that these things are right and these things are wrong. And a lot of times, whenever there's a new believer, we want to tell them what's right and wrong, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do that, and you should do this, and you know, all these things. But really, we need to keep in His Word so that we know what is good and what's bad. Something that came to me this morning as we were doing the Bible study is whenever Jesus went out after He was baptized into the wilderness, and He was being tempted by Satan. For the times that He was tempted out there, He always made the right choice, right? You remember the story? He made the right choice. He was tempted with turning stones into bread, and He said that you can't live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's scriptural. Jesus went back to Scripture and everything. When He was making the right choice, when He was facing temptations, Jesus went back to the Word, and he quoted Scripture to Satan that was trying to lead him astray. That's why it is so important to know these words and in all of these different books, the God story to us, to know what He's saying and to get our rights and wrongs from inside of here. This is the law that counts. And all of our usual laws that we have are going to be found in this book from way, way, way back when. It all stems from a lot of this. So in order to express goodness, we need to know what's good, and good is knowing Jesus and having that relationship with Him, spending the time in His Word to get to know that, so that we can, when we're facing these trials and tribulations, we can go back to His Word and go, you know, is this something I should be doing, and study that and know what God said about what we should do. So it's important to study and spend the time in prayer with Him, getting to know Him better. For many of us, and me included, every now and then I have to take a little break from Facebook because Facebook starts becoming more important to me than my studies in the morning. And I'll wake up and I have great intentions, and this is that good choice, bad choice, and I'm telling on myself here once again, but I get my phone, I hit the button, and I slide over, and there's those notifications. Now, I know a lot of people can stare at their phone and see like 14 million notifications on Facebook, a bazillion text messages, and all these different notifications. I'm not one of those people. So I need to hit that button and then see what all the notifications are about on every one of them. And so whenever you go into Facebook, it's like, I'm going to read the Bible this morning I'm supposed to read, but I'm just going to check out these notifications first. Then you go into Facebook, you look at the notifications, and you're like, oh, that's just like a bunch of dumb stuff. I don't care about any of that stuff. And so you go back, and then you're like, ooh, but there's an article, though, so let's see what this article right here is. And then you start scrolling and seeing some more stuff, and next thing you know, your alarm is going off that it's time to get ready for work, and you didn't get your reading done. Am I the only one that happens to? I know it happens to Bea a lot. She spends a lot of time on Facebook. I'm kidding. She doesn't even have Facebook. So, you see how we need to prioritize. We need to prioritize this above everything and spend the time in prayer. If we spend the time in His Word and then spend time praying before and after that, then we're going to grow closer to Him, and we will start to express these things so much different than what we think of them now, in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. We start to express those and grow in those, and we become more and more like Christ in those ways. We'll never attain complete and total being like Christ, but we can certainly work towards that through our studies and through our relationship with Him. That's what God wants, is for us to love Him enough that He can shine through us to the world that we live in, because as believers in Christ, we are ambassadors, not from this world, but from His kingdom to this world. And we have to always keep that in our minds and grow so that we can learn. So, I've talked about everything that continues inside of here, I think. So this morning I want to pray that God will help us to continue to grow in our goodness, in that ability to choose right from wrong, to help us to see that good choice and to always head straight forward to that one instead of making those wrong choices. And also just to thank God for our mothers, for all the different mothers. Without them, we wouldn't be here, right? That's a big yes. Without moms, we wouldn't be here. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, and we just come before you humbly this morning. We thank you that you are a good, good Father. God, that you always make the right choices. You are so merciful and full of grace. God, we ask you for forgiveness where we fail you, for the places that we make those wrong choices, for the places that we see the good and that we choose the opposite. God, help us to be more like Jesus. Help us to grow in you. Help us to prioritize you ahead of everything else in our lives. And everything in this world is going to be gone someday. And sometimes it's hard to see beyond that. Lord, we just ask you to fill us up with your Spirit and nurture these fruits that we should be bearing. God, whenever people look at us, I want them to see what you can do to a life here on earth. Help them to see goodness and love and peace and kindness and joy for you. And help us to not be distracted by the things of this world, but always focused on you. Lord, we thank you for the mothers that have been teaching us from the time that we're born. We thank you for the dads too, but this morning, God, we just, and we thank you for moms. Thank you that we have this day set aside to just focus on mothers and what they mean to us, to celebrate them. Without them, we wouldn't have life, so we're grateful for them. God, this morning I want to lift up those that don't have their moms to turn to. I know that Mother's Day is a time of hurt each and every year also, and I just want to ask you to give them peace, give them comfort this morning. Help us to look on mothers for all that they do and all that they continue to do in our lives. Just thank you so much for them. Lord, as we leave your sanctuary today, as we go out into this world, and give us the strength, give us the boldness, give us the courage to stand up and do what's right. Help us to see that your plan is greater than ours is, that you know, because there's nothing new under the sun. God, more than anything this morning, I want to thank you for Jesus Christ. I want to thank you that Jesus came to this earth and that he lived the perfect life, that he bared every single one of the fruits in full. We thank you for his life as an example, that we got to see that through your word, through your disciples, through the apostles. I thank you that he, even though he didn't want to, even though there were choices to make, God, that he did the good thing, that he went to the cross and that he let them nail him to the cross and that he died so that we could be saved, so that we could be reconciled to you. God, help us to share that message with everyone, that not only did he die for our sins, but he came back to life. He defeated death so that we could be saved. God, you are an awesome, awesome, good Father. That's who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.